Welcome to SMT Pod, the premier audio publication for the Society for Music Theory. In this week's episode, Hank Ki Choi explores how the silences in Arvo Pärt's Ludus play with our sense of musical beginnings and endings.
Silence plays important functions in music, such as intensifying our expectations, highlighting dramatic moments, and operating as a musical symbol. Another crucial function is silence's ability to delineate the boundary between musical segments. Consider this example. This excerpt is the final movement of Haydn's Joy Quartet, played by the Emerson String Quartet. We hear the ending is interrupted by silences, leading us to ask, when will the piece end? The nickname of this quartet, the joke, came from playing without expectation of the movement's ending. In this episode, I will investigate the power of silence in signifying musical beginnings and endings, what some people call the teleology of music. I will explore this relationship by analyzing Arvo Pärt's Ludus from his Concerto Grosso Tabula Rasa. In this piece, silences of different durations appear in between musical sections, challenging our notion of musical beginnings and endings. My analysis will show that the durational proportions between the silence and the musical section can impact our perception of musical time and the sense of closure. This episode will contain excerpts of long stretches of silence. To fully engage with my ideas, I encourage you to listen with high-quality earphones. Before I dive into my analysis, let's understand the significance of silence in Arvo Pärt's works. For Arvo Pärt, spirituality permeates his work. His wife, Noor Pärt, once expressed in an interview that, quote, "To really understand his music, you must first understand how this religious tradition, Eastern Orthodoxy, flows through him," end quote. One of such connections between music and religion is Pärt's use of silence. In Russian Orthodoxy, internal silence is a path to connect with the divine. Through repetitive prayers, one can reach the state of hesychasm, a state of inner silence that brings one closer to God. Various scholars of Pärt, such as Peter Butenev, Paul Hillier, and Andrew Shinton, have discussed the influence of hesychasm in Pärt's works. Silence is also crucial for his creative process. He expressed that, quote, "Ideally, a silent pause is something sacred. If someone approaches silence with love, then this might give birth to music," end quote. This quotation suggests that for Pärt, even the silence that frames music is important. Shinton distinguishes two types of silences in Pärt's oeuvre. Silence that precedes music, which I call beginning silence, and silence that precedes music, which I call ending silence. Shinton posits that for Pärt, these silences have various aesthetic effects. For instance, beginning silences are akin to upbeats that anticipate music, while ending silences may function as the music's goal. In the movement Ludus, I hear the piece as an exploration of the distinction between beginning silence and ending silence. Under what circumstances would a silence that sounds like a beginning becomes a silence that sounds like an ending? How do beginning silences and ending silences impact how we interpret music teleology? To answer these questions, let's examine the structure of Ludus. Ludus contains an introduction and 8 musical sections that are variants of each other. In between these sections are 8 silences, notated with a grand pause on a full measure rest. These silences form a musical boundary that divides 2 adjacent musical sections. To vary the silence's duration, Peart sets 8 full measure rests to different time signatures. For instance, the first silence is a full measure rest in 8-2 time, that is, 8 half notes long. And the second silence is a full measure rest in 7-2 time, that is, 7 half notes long. Simultaneously, the grand pause markings above the rests afford performers some freedom to determine the silence's length. Yet, in most performances I've heard, performers closely adhere to Peart's notated duration. Here is an excerpt from the opening of Ludus, played by the orchestra Camerata Baltica, with violin soloists Gidon Kramer and Tatiana Grindenko in their album Silencio from the year 2000. We'll hear the introduction played by the violin soloists, followed by the first silence, which is 8 beats long, around 10 seconds. Then, the first musical section enters, followed by the second silence, which is 7 beats long, around 9 seconds. As the movement unfolds, each subsequent silence becomes a half note shorter than the previous silence. The first silence is the longest, which is 8 half notes long, while the final silence is the shortest, which is 1 half note long. I will call this process of shortening silences as the subtractive process. Simultaneously, each subsequent musical section becomes 4 or 5 measures longer. The first section is the shortest, which is 8 measures long, while the final section is the longest, which is 30 measures long. I'll call this process of lengthening musical sections the additive process. By combining the subtractive and additive processes, the proportion between the silences and musical sections changes as the movement progresses. If we take the first musical section and its subsequent silence as a unit, this silence is rather long compared to the duration of the musical section. Here is an excerpt of the first musical section, followed by its silence, which is 9 seconds long. Thank you. As a comparison, here is a musical excerpt of the penultimate section, leading into the final silence, which is less than a second long. In this example, the silence is rather short compared to the duration of the musical section. Across this movement, each musical section is surrounded by silences. Andrew Shenton suggests that surrounding silences may function as beginning silence or ending silence. In the context of lutis, I hear the longer rests near the movement's beginning as ending silences, while the shorter rests near the movement's ending as beginning silences. I will show that this is due to the durational proportion between the silence and its preceding musical section. Let us use the first musical section and its subsequent silence as an example. I hear this silence as an ending silence due to two reasons. First, it is 7 half-notes long, which is rather long for the preceding musical section of 8 measures. I define a long silence as a rest in which its duration exceeds a full measure of 6/4, the prevailing meter before all grand pauses in lutis. To allow for easy comparison between the meter, which is counted as quarter notes, and the rests, which are notated as half notes, I will clarify that a measure of 6/4 converts to 3 half-notes in duration. In this example, the silence, which is 7 half-notes long, is longer than a measure of 6/4, or 3 half-notes. Long silences clear the tension of excitement brought forth in the previous musical section. Second, the musical section's latter half contains gestures that evoke closure, such as thinning texture and decelerating rhythmic activity, which lead into the subsequent silence. These gestures inspire me to hear the silence as a confirmation of an ending. Here is an excerpt of the first musical section's ending, going into its subsequent silence. Listen to the closing gestures at the end of the musical section and the long duration of silence. As the movement progresses, silences become shorter while the musical sections grow longer. Using the penultimate section and the final silence as an example, I hear silences near the end of the movement as beginning silences. First, at this point in lutis, listeners have already heard the music restart 7 times after the full measure rests. the following rests will likely proceed to another re-beginning. Second, this final silence, which is 1 beat long, is also much shorter compared to the musical section, which is 30 measures long. This final silence sounds like a short upbeat that leads into the next section, rather than a silence that clears the slate of the prior section. Here is an excerpt of the penultimate section leading into the final silence. Notice the musical section's long duration compared to the silence's short duration. As ludus is heard as a whole, I hear each silence losing its ability to evoke closure, transforming from an ending silence to a beginning silence as the piece unfolds. My analysis suggests that the silence duration plays a role in our perception of musical beginnings and endings. Longer silences are ending silences, while shorter silences are beginning silences. However, duration is not the only factor. Arvo Pärt once expressed in an interview that, quote, silence is a fertile soil, which, as it were, awaits our creative act, our seed, end quote. His words remind us that silences are inherently empty. Yet, through a composer's creative act, that is, the musical context, the silences may evoke temporality, musicality, and even expression. In the context of ludus, it is both the silence's subtractive process and the musical section's additive process that create a subliminal change in musical temporality. Returning to Haydn's Joe Quartet that opened this episode, how is Haydn's use of silence different from Pärt's use of silence? In the Joe Quartet, the rests interrupt the music's harmonic process towards a cadence. Every time the music restarts after a silence, the music inches a step closer towards its ending. However, in ludus, silences are interpolated between completed musical sections, which have already achieved local closure before the rest. Instead of focusing on any incomplete processes in the musical section, our attention is drawn to the silences themselves. Therefore, Haydn's use of silence highlights the unfolding harmonic process, while Pärt's use of silence spotlights the silence subtractive process itself. My reading of ludus encourages us to interrogate the distinction between silences that begin and end musical segments. To notice such a distinction, one needs to meditate on these silences, similar to the state of hesychasm. It is only through introspective examination that we would realize the subtle shift in formal proportions. Nevertheless, the act of meditating on silence can be vague. Silences are inherently empty. What should the listener meditate on? Peart once expressed that at the premiere of his choral work, Te Deum, he noticed, quote, "The audience was not used to hearing so many rests, and that made it difficult for them to follow the logic of the work," end quote. My analysis suggests that in Ludus, meditating on the subliminal changes in duration can provide a rewarding listening experience. The next time you listen to music, consider how short or long silences impact the expressiveness of music differently. Second, think about the importance of silences in evoking the beginnings and endings of music. For instance, at the end of a recital, we rely on that unusually long silence to know when we should applaud. In social conversations, we often wait for that long silence after someone's utterance before we know we can interject. Although silence is the absence of music, it contains a wealth of information that impacts the music's expressivity, temporality, and formal structure. Thank you very much to my peer reviewers Robert Scholl and John Heilig for providing valuable feedback on my draft for this episode. I would also like to thank Robert Komaniecki for being my third reviewer on very short notice. Thank you, Jason Jedlicka, the producer of this episode, for your tech and audio support. Finally, thank you to the team lead of this project, Orit Helowitz, and the editor of SMT Pod, Megan Lyons, for keeping this project on track.
Visit our website, smt-pod.org, for supplemental materials related to this episode and to learn how to submit your own episode proposal. You can join in the conversation by tweeting us your comments and questions to @SMT_pod. SMT Pod's theme music was written by Maria Tartaglia, with closing music by E.K. Zhang. Thanks for listening.